When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Off Air, the podcast with Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
You eat cheese in the sink?
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh,
no, how would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Here comes the run. Hello, everybody. We're speaking to you from Camps Bay, a beautiful part of the Cape Province in South Africa. The day after the whole season ended, some of you are already engaged in your next season, but for us, Slotty, we've had enough of rugby for just a little while.
Yeah, no, we're sad because we're not going to see much of each other for a while. I know you'll miss me. I know it's going to be hard for you, Jonesy, but it's been a lovely few months together.
I think I could say on a sort of personal and journalistic note, I suppose people don't realise that we have a bond in our media corps, which is probably as strong as a players or spectators or anything, because we all make fun of each other and take the mickey, to use a pleasant word, 24/7. But actually, we are pretty tight.
Rather like the England team, we needed to improve our game in time for the World Cup next year, Steve, and prove that we were capable of covering the World Cup. And we've all taken on new skills. You've discovered that you can perform on a daily basis, which is a great thing to take forward.
I've always been able to perform on a daily basis. Oh, sorry, you mean newspapers? Sorry. Yeah, that's fair enough. Thank you for that compliment. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we'd really love to like to thank you for listening to us. It's really nice when you meet people across the world who say, oh, I love the ruck. Thank you very much. We've had a great season. Mark Evans being on was a highlight. So too Ben Ryan. So too the Alas Slot and Jones show. We put so much time into thinking up that title. And also the time when we had four top girls on from the England women's game. And my goodness, we got a heck of a reaction for that. But Owen, you're just typing your stuff for Monday's Times. But so we're speaking effectively after that. But just some last thoughts on England in Cape Town and in South Africa as a whole.
Everyone is desperate to get home, desperate to get shot of the season, and really quite pleased to get a shot of this tour. One thing that really struck me after the game was the real buoyancy that the players had following that victory. Any sense that it was a dead rubber consolation type thing, buried immediately afterwards. And then speaking to some of the players afterwards, decent players who I think are honest, like Johnny May, Danny Cipriani, they were genuinely putting over this impression of a team that felt that, for all that it was a 2-1 defeat in the series, that they'd had a bit of a bounce. I think that the newspapers, I certainly know my piece in The Times, will be challenging that theory, because I'm not convinced remotely that there has been a bounce. But I think the fact that players are believing that is probably the first and most important part of it.
These guys, they're generally decent guys. Let's say that we don't think that they're so good in the media environment as they could be, because they're all characters. But I think your point is that you're making is we're happy for these guys that they've gone off the field with their heads held high with a victory, but we are still not sure that anything new was started in Cape Town.
I've said from the start of this series, and I still believe it, that I think this England were a good team, but I just don't think they particularly played like one. Obviously, clear flashes in the first two tests, and then the last 25 minutes in Cape Town, they seemed to gather themselves. To what extent that was the Springbok spirit just deserting them, I'm not really sure. Eddie's been going on about this is the renewal tour, we're renewing the team. I think Tom Curry's been, you know, if you want a find in big old inverted commas. And Tom Curry's your man. Mike Brown as a left wing, which I thought was preposterous. Happy to say that worked. I can't see it quite as the World Cup answer. The attack coach, I keep him as well. That aside, I'm struggling to really go, yes, England have taken massive strides.
I loved it that Joe Marler looked to be much more like the Joe Marler we know and love yesterday. But I have to say that, harping back to 2003 may not be any good, but at least you can trace the process of a World Cup team. And that team, by now, before their World Cup, was all almost 12 or 13 of them were all inked in. This time, there are so few players you can put your hand on your heart and say, we'll definitely be there in the autumn and starting. And I think that is a very bad thing. And I think, actually, this team is sort of almost folded and died. And yesterday was the last quack of the dying duck. I think Eddie's got to have a real big think. He's got to trust the Premiership form far more. He's got to stop having these sacred cows, stop by wasting people's time by bringing them in too early. But I think there's a sort of inner spirit in the team, as you say. But let's move on to the Springboks. I just absolutely love being here in this fantastic country and seeing the progress that Razzy Erasmus has made. He's got to do what they call development, and that means development selections. He has to have 50% non-white players by the time of the World Cup. That definitively means you are not always picking on merit. And the good news is that some of the non-white players have come through and are clearly merit selections. Others, as we saw yesterday with probably Chile boy Radapela and Elton Yanchis, some of these non-white players are, I'm terribly sorry to use this word, they are token and development selections.
Having read sort of a lot about the politics of transformation in rugby and how hard it's been, and Erasmus has seemed to have really grasped it brilliantly, I think that the one thing that that black players have hated and do hate is to have that term token, as you say. You're there because coaches are obliged to fulfil the quota. And Yanchis yesterday, he looked like that, didn't he? He looked out of depth. It was uncomfortable. It was sad to watch him playing like that. I like the fact that Erasmus has picked him. He clearly had this policy of Pollard for the first two tests and try his other guy for the third.
Look, we've had a lovely tour here, and I'll never forget being there for Beat's 100th cap to see Sia Kolisi do his press conferences at the England as the first black South African captain, which was marvellous. And to see this nation, it is very easy to make too many judgments from a small section of the population and just what we see and what we rub up against. But I do think that this place, if only it could cut crime and corruption, this place is slowly coming together. Let's just speak about some of the other teams, because Ireland have won Test Series in Australia, Slotty, which with Aussie improving is a major feat and shows this team is still on the march.
Slightly sad thing about that is you go away from watching that Ireland, the final Test, but also all three of them were so coloured by the refereeing decisions. The referee yesterday was horrible in that game, and you'd really like to undo some of the decisions he made. The full-out yellow card, and I think it was a penalty just before the 2 minutes before the end against the replacement hooker. Baffling and not good for the game. And Steve Hansen's been quite vocal today, sort of talking across both the Kiwi-France series and the Aussie-Ireland series, saying, hang on a sec, even though the All Blacks got the better of most of the refereeing in the All Blacks series, funnily enough, he was able to acknowledge that this wasn't really good for the game. The game was refereeing like that. So influential was taking international rugby in a poor direction. And because of that aside, it's been a brilliant summer, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a fantastic summer, and Ireland, you know, are on the way. But refereeing just drives me mad. I thought Glenn Jackson was dreadful at Newlands, and I'm sorry, but they have to be treated the same way as the players and journalists. You have to criticise where it's due, and I thought the three referees over the weekend were awful, the ones I saw. And also, you know, you get things like in Australia have a perfectly good move in the middle of the field. Passing is fine. Paul Williams, the touchers, calls a forward pass, which wasn't, categorically was not. 2 minutes later, Ireland passed the ball forward right in front of his nose, 5 yards away from him. Anyway, his play on is just appalling. And, you know, Steve Hansen, you could say he's one to complain. He shouldn't. But on the other hand, very poor refereeing. Now, Wales and Scotland. Scotland managed to lose to America, but we saw them yesterday against Argentina. Incidentally, Wales back home safe, played 3-1-3. All their backup players sort of restored and in order so that the Giants who can come back into it, Alan Wynne-Jones, Sam Warburton, Jonathan Davis, so they're in good shape. But one team not in good shape, Owen, we watched last night over a beer after work to see what used to be the Pumas.
I can't really understand what's happened there. I left before the final score. At half time, they were 30 points down or something to Wales. What was the final score?
Oh, it was a lot.
They've been beaten by Wales 2 weeks in a row, and then Scotland, missing a lot of first choice players, cruised, didn't they? Sad. And the reason I don't understand it is their Super Rugby team, the Jaguares, had become really competitive in the last few months, and then you go to international rugby, and suddenly it's gone.
It is, and I think as Scotland are in blue, by the way, Wales are in red. They were. I think that's what's helped them, and I think that's what's knackered them. Because when the Argentine team got together, they would always come into camp from all parts of the world. They hadn't seen each other for ages. They'd get there, they'd have a beer, and they'd start recreating that fantastic spirit. Now you can't do that when you've been together in a team that's flown all over the world for Super Rugby, and suddenly that it just becomes samey. And I think the urgent thing about the Pumas is they must get rid of the law which stops them playing foreign overseas based players and bring them in, and then suddenly you've got six or seven players to give it some spice, and that's what they need. But in the first half, as you say, there were times when they didn't seem to be trying, and for the Pumas that is shocking. But anyway, we've got planes to catch. What time are you?
Just before I answer this, I'm halfway through departures and out the door. I don't think we can finish our sort of wrap up without acknowledging that victory for the USA against Scotland a week ago. So that was the Scotland that just beat Argentina. So that was America's first victory against a Tier 1 nation. Steve. Having seen that and knowing American rugby as you do, which young American players do you see coming through in the next couple of years?
Right, I'm just trying to think. I've got a big list of them here in my head. I just can't bring them forward. With respect to them, they're clearly, in terms of their league and their national team, they're clearly at last getting to grips with rugby and it's coming on. But the Georgian slotty, front row forwards to the fore there, but who are the young Georgian props you think are coming through?
The new crew from Tbilisi are the ones to be watching out for. They're looking very strong. And
any names for us? Or that one never failed. Whenever we ask someone, we started off by asking Adam Hathaway for the rising players in the Japan under-20 team. He almost choked. Anyway, sometimes our preparations and our research are caught out. Thanks to everyone who listened to us this year, who downloaded us. Thank you for our lovely producer, Alex, who did so well. He often got us into a studio that was excellent. Not every week, but we enjoyed that broom cupboard as well. All being well, and if the Lord spares us, we'll be back in September for what will then be World Cup season. Just before I go back to Owen for his thoughts, thanks a million again. Rugby's a great game, played far too often, far too much ferocity, far too much poor refereeing, but I still wouldn't change it. And the guys I've been without here, and I'm sure you and all your friends, your sons, daughters, neighbours, whenever rugby is brought up, whenever you go to play, well, you've got that in your heart as well. So we'll give the final word to Owen before we pack our bags. Watch Harry Kane on another glory charge. And for the last word on the ruck in this season, Owen.
Wow, it's quite hard to follow a summary like that, Jonesy. You really gave it your all. So I'd just like to say congratulations to you keeping your both shoes for the entire tour. That I think is the appropriate place to finish this. They are a massive set of boats that he wears on the end of his feet, and they've come from Durban to Johannesburg to Cape Town, and they'll be home again in one piece, so we can all sleep well. Thank you for listening to The Ruck. We'll be back in September.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on the Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.